All right. So grateful for this church family and so glad you've joined us today to study God's word. If you have your Bible, would you open it up to Genesis chapter 2? We'll be in Genesis chapter 2 in just a moment. In the meantime, I heard a story about a Sunday school teacher who was talking to a group of first graders about God's plan of salvation. And the Sunday school teacher asked the class, if I sold my house, sold my car, had a big garage sale, and gave all my money to the church, would that get me to heaven? Oh, that's right. All the kids shouted out, no, just like that. Good answer. The Sunday school teacher continued. Well, if I cleaned the church every day, mowed the lawn, and made sure everything was nice and tidy, would that get me to heaven? And all the kids shouted again, no. Well then, said the teacher, how then can someone get to heaven? One of the first grade boys quickly raised his hand and said, you gotta be dead. I love kids. What happens when we die? Is there life after death? Look at these words from the book of Job. If a man die, shall he live again? This is the ultimate question. Right up there with, is there a God? The only question that rivals that question is, when someone dies, is that all there is? Is that it? Is that the end? We're asking this question because death is inevitable. We will all face death sooner or later, and I love Woody Allen. He humorously said one time, I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. My sentiments exactly. We not only think about our own death, but we think about the death of those we love. You may have not heard, but my dad has terminal cancer. And so this message is very personal to me. It's relevant to every one of us in this room. I recently met a guy named Jay. Jay was doing some work and we struck up a conversation. And Jay told me an unusual story. And Jay had not been a religious person at all. He was not a Christian. And then one night, Jay sat down to watch a movie by himself at home. He suddenly saw a brilliant light. And as he was telling me, he said he heard a voice that said, I am the beginning and the end. And although he couldn't see the man's face, he knew who it was. Jay said that at that point, he was given a review of his life. And he walked through all of these memories and things he had experienced all the way down to when he was a child. He was so overwhelmed, he fell. He said he fell at the feet of Jesus. And then he said he experienced what he could only describe as pure love. He didn't want to leave, ever. Jesus said, you gotta leave. You gotta go back. And he suddenly woke up and there was a medical team bringing him back to life. Never heard anyone share a story like that, have you? That was kind of a first. I didn't know what to think. So I just asked Jay, I said, okay, well, how did that experience transform your life? And it changed everything. Jay is now this passionate follower of Jesus Christ, had never been before. He prays, he reads his Bible, he's talking to other people about Jesus. Everything had changed. And Jay's not the only one who's had this experience. A Gallup survey found that 13 million Americans, or 1 in 25 Americans, have had what's called a near-death experience, or NDE, where your heart stops, your brainwaves stop, and yet people are resuscitated with this medical technology, and they're able to come back and maybe share something that they've experienced.
Now, some of these documented cases are quite stunning. As reported by Lee Strobel in The Case for Heaven, you might want to check that book out if you're interested in near-death experiences. But here's one of those documented cases. For example, a woman registered an absence of brainwaves, had no vital signs, and was declared dead, and was being wheeled to the morgue when she regained consciousness. That's crazy. It gets even wilder. Once she regained her consciousness, she accurately described the exact resuscitation procedures used on her by the doctors. She repeated a joke that one of them had told the other to relieve some tension, and even recalled the designs on the doctor's ties. Wow. Strobel concludes by writing, "I'm not surprised that NDE researcher Jeffrey Long, a seasoned radiation oncologist, concluded, NDEs provide such powerful scientific evidence that it is reasonable to accept the existence of an afterlife." And if you're open to the Bible this morning, if you're open to some of the clues from new medical research, what you'll discover is that when a person dies, it's not the end. It's actually the beginning of an indescribable and extraordinary experience beyond what we could ever imagine. We've come to our final message in our Made for This series. We've discovered some powerful truths about who we are. We are created as God's image. We are created male and female. We are created for relationships. We are created for the blessings of life. And today I want to talk to you about created for eternity. Death does not have to be the final word for those who are believers in Jesus Christ. So let's go to the opening chapters of Genesis. We'll see that we are made for an eternal life with God. It's right there in the opening chapters. How cool is this? But not only that, we'll see we are saved for an eternal life with God through faith in Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bible, we're in Genesis 2. Here's our scripture reading for the morning. Pick it up in verse 4. Genesis 2:4 says, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Go ahead and jump down to verse 15. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will surely die.'" It's the word of the Lord. Let's open with a time of prayer. God, thank you so much that you brought us into this place this morning, and we're here to talk about maybe life's one of the most biggest questions around. What about death? What happens when we die? Is there more to life, a life after this life? And God, I pray that this morning that your Holy Spirit will speak powerfully to our hearts. We pray that you'll encourage us by the hope that we have in Jesus. We pray that we too, as we see your plans and purposes, will be changed forever. So we give you this time, God. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we see here, right, the early chapters of Genesis. This is amazing. I don't know if you've seen it before, but it talks here about how God made us. What is his purpose? And first thing I want to show you is that we are made for eternity. Did you know that from the very beginning, God created you for a relationship with him?
And God loves you so much, he wants to be with you forever. How cool is that?
Let me show you three clues from the book of Genesis. We're made for an eternity. Clue number one, we're far more than our physical bodies. We're far more than our physical bodies. Genesis 2 describes the process of God creating us. We see that in verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being.
So God spoke the universe into existence. You guys remember that? It said, and God spoke, and it was, and he spoke, and it was. God spoke the universe into existence. But when the time came for God to create a human being, God did something special. God stopped speaking, and he got to work with his hands. He put his hands in the dust. And God made our physical human body from the dust of the earth.
Psalm 103:14 says, "For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust."
Well, for being dust, I'd say our bodies are pretty incredible. Wouldn't you agree? Come on. We can like jump, run, sing, yeah, taste, you know, cheesesteaks, amazing things. Like, our bodies are incredible. And we see, we hear.
And even our physical bodies speak to God's incredible design. He made us to live in our physical bodies. God didn't make us like the angels. No, he made us with physical bodies. Our bodies matter. This is how we are meant to live. But notice verse 7. Here, we're also more than our physical bodies. When God created a physical body from the dust of the earth, it had no life. It was a dead physical body until God breathed his own life into it. And we're shown here the special connection between God and humanity, indicating a deep intimacy. He breathed into his nostrils. Do you hear the closeness of that? The breath of life. And while animals also breathe, only human beings have the very breath of God. So according to Genesis chapter 2, humans are two elements combine to make a human being. And they are dust and breath. You and I are dust and breath. We are, part of us is physical, and part of us is not physical. And that's gonna have an important role to play when death enters the story, because when our physical body dies, where does our breath go? Where does our spirit go? This is one of those clues that we are made for more. We're made for an eternity with God. Clue number two. We as humans in Genesis had access to the tree of life. Now, in the Garden of Eden, there were lots and lots of trees, hundreds and thousands of trees, more than anyone could count. But in the middle of the garden, God placed two very special trees. And these trees were different from all the others. Verse 9 says, "The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Now, the tree of life is the first special tree that God placed in the Garden of Eden. God will say in the very next chapter, chapter 3, that if a man eats from the tree of life, he will live forever. And this suggests that if humanity hadn't have sinned, if they continued to live in the Garden of Eden and continued to eat from the tree of life, they would live forever. Hence, God gave the tree of life to grant and to sustain an eternal life with him. But it's also important to note that God still has a tree of life available to his people. Did you know that? In Revelation 2:7, one of the letters to the seven churches, Jesus makes this promise. He says, "To the one who overcomes, I will grant to eat," there it is, "from the tree of life." which is in the paradise of God. Isn't that interesting? And then when you get to the very end of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, Jesus has returned. God's made a new heavens and a new earth. And on that earth is a garden. In the garden is found a tree of life. How cool is that? The Bible ends just like it began. And from the beginning to the end, the tree of life serves as a reminder that God created us. God loves us. God wants to be with us forever. Three clues were made for an eternity with God. Number one, we're far more than our physical bodies. Number two, we had access to the tree of life. And number three, we were never meant to die. Because it wasn't supposed to happen that way. I have this feeling every time that I attend a funeral. This isn't right. I'm sure you felt it too. Because death has afflicted us with too much pain. It has stolen too many of our loved ones. It has shattered too many dreams. It has caused us to be afraid all of the time. Death, according to the Bible, is our enemy. And one of the reasons we have such a hard time processing the death of our loved ones is because we were never meant to die. It wasn't supposed to happen that way. Where did death come from? Well, God wanted to see if Adam and Eve would listen to him and obey him. So he put this other special tree right in the middle of the garden, right next to the tree of life. It was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This tree would be a test for Adam and Eve. And God explained what would happen if anyone ate from it. Genesis 3:17, God says, "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Nice. Adam and Eve failed that test. Believing the serpent's lies, they ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And just like God said, they did die that day. It was the initiation of physical death, which would come. Genesis 3:19 says, "For dust you are, and to dust you will return." But death as a consequence was not limited to physical death. How many of you know Adam and Eve lived for like 900 more years? You're like, how did he die? Well, that death did come, but it also introduced spiritual death. Alienation from God. Expelled from the presence of God, separated from God for all of eternity, our souls separated from God, what the Bible calls hell. And the problem is we all fall short of God's perfect standard. But aren't you glad God didn't let the story end there? I am. God made us for an eternity with him. We see those clues in the book of Genesis. But God also saved us for an eternity with him. And death and separation from God are not the end of the story for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. Let me give you two eternity-changing scriptures. First one, Romans 6:23, love this verse, says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you notice the contrast there? Sin brings death, but Jesus came to give us life and an eternal life with God, a forever life with God. And do we need to earn it? No, it says it is the gift of God for everyone who's brought their life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Here's another verse, John 3:16, the most famous verse in the entire Bible, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God loved you so much, he sent his son, Jesus, to save me and you. And how are we saved? By the works we do, by all the, you know, doing, you know, this, no, checking the boxes. No, we are saved by believing in Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus, the one who died and rose from the dead. And when we do, John 3:16 says, we receive an eternal life with God. We shall not perish. We are saved for an eternity with God. Say, that's nice, Brian. Got some beautiful Bible verses there. Wonderful. How do you really know that there is life after death? In the early 90s, there was a movie called Flatliners, starred Julia Roberts and Kevin Bacon. And there were these medical students who wanted to find out if there was life after death. And so they did some experiments. They would flatline each other and then bring each other back from the dead and then ask questions about what they had experienced. And, we have documented cases of people like Jay and others who've had these near-death experiences. But the question makes sense, doesn't it? If you want to know if there's something beyond the grave, well, then ask somebody who's been there and come back. Now, in the movie, they died for maybe 15 seconds or a couple of minutes. But in real life, Jesus died and he returned on the third day. And the way that we know that there is life after death is if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is true. Religions all over the world believe in life after death. But there's only one, Christianity, who says its founder physically returned from the dead. You go to the tomb of Joseph Smith, he's there. You go to the tomb of Muhammad, he's there. You go to the tomb of Buddha, he's there. You go to the tomb of Jesus, he's not there. Instead, we have these compelling eyewitness testimonies of people who saw Jesus crucified on a cross, sealed in a tomb, and then 3 days later was back alive from the dead. John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? If the guy who said, I'm the resurrection and the life, dies and comes back to life, that's kind of a game changer. That changes everything. That means there really is life after death. Phil Calloway writes in Men of Integrity, one sleepy Sunday afternoon, when my son was 5 years old, we drove past a cemetery together. Noticing a large pile of dirt beside a newly excavated grave, son pointed and said, look, Dad, one got out. He said, I laughed. But now every time I pass a graveyard, I'm reminded of the one who got out. Death does not have to be the end of the story. Thank God for a Savior who is the resurrection and the life. Notice that last question in verse 7. Do you believe this? It means we can trust Jesus. It means there really is a life after this life. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Do you want to know that your sins are forgiven? Do you want to know that you'll go to heaven when you die? You can know that right now by turning from your sin and trusting in Jesus Christ. Do you believe this? Jesus asked. And the moment you do that, you come into a new relationship with God that starts today and lasts forever. Some people wonder then, okay, what happens. I believe in Jesus. What happens to a person who dies when they believe in Jesus? Remember earlier how I said that we are more than our physical bodies? So when a believer in Jesus dies, it means their spirit goes to be with the Lord. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're going to be with Jesus in that moment. But then our body is put in the grave. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, we're awaiting the resurrection. What's the resurrection? Jesus is going to return. Our bodies will rise just like Jesus rose from the grave. Our bodies will rise rejoined with our spirits. And heaven is coming to earth. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, a new creation where you find that tree of life. And we will be with Jesus forever in physical bodies on a physical earth with a physical Jesus. It's going to be incredible. And we look forward to that day. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, 21 through 22. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Do you see the connection between Genesis and Jesus? Sin and death came through Adam, but life and eternity come through faith in Jesus Christ. And such is this promise for those who believe in Jesus. So don't leave here today without knowing you're alive, spiritually alive, without knowing you're going to heaven when you die, without knowing that on that day when you stand before God, just like Jay, for the review of your life, you know all of your sin is forgiven. You're prepared to meet God, and you can be today by trusting in Jesus Christ. And such is the hope for those who believe in him. As we are made for this, it's been my message this entire series. We are made for an eternity with God. You see that at the beginning of the Bible? We're more than our physical bodies. We had access and will have access to the tree of life. We were not meant to die. We were meant to be with God forever. And praise God, because of Jesus Christ, we are saved for that eternity with God. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. And God, we just want to pray, especially, Lord, this morning, for anyone in this room, God, that's not, hasn't made things right with you. This is that moment. And so we just invite you to pray. Thanking Jesus. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and rising from the dead for my sins. And today I turn from my sin and I surrender my life to you. I'm placing my life right now under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving your life for me, and now I give my life to you for eternity. And if you've done that this morning, you have just gone from death to life. Thank you, God, for new life in Christ. Thank you that we get to draw with joy from the well of salvation. And we celebrate today that we have a future and we have a hope that does not end at the grave. And so I pray today, God, that we'll take that good news, we'll share it with those around us, and so we can bring as many as possible to faith in Christ as well. God, thank you for this time. As we close now with worship, God, we recognize you are worthy, you are glorious, you are awesome, you are our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Healer. In Jesus' name, amen.